This is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality, and I am your humble host, Zainab. We are again at your service with yet brand new episode of Back to Reality. Yes, today we are going to talk about what aging teaches us. And on that note, we have in studio with us two special guests. I have with me Fatima from California and Sadiqa from the UK. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is Fatima from California, USA.
Oh, alaikum salam. Thank you for having me over. And this is Sadiqa from UK.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. A very warm welcome. Well, in today's episode, we are going to discuss a very interesting topic. Who am I? Fatima, how do you define yourself? Or rather, I must say, who are you?
Kind of a difficult question. I mean, I think most of us, kind of our self-identity changes over time. From the beginning, when you're a child, young, your parents and your environment and teachers at school and friends kind of start shaping who you are. And then as you get older, you kind of choose your own identity kind of.
If we realize that, if we go through the stage-to-stage development of our hours, we will realize what kind of worlds, what kind of universes have changed, developed within us.
What defines them is how they react to the problem, how they react in society, how they behave in society. We need to stop this level of judging a person by their height, weight, you know, how they look, the level of their beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things are actually even subjective. As a society, we need to take a step back from judging other people and let a person live life for themselves rather than live life to please others.
Exactly, because that's what we mostly do. We try to live for others. We try to please others. Fatima, skin tone, the height, and these things do not define us. If these things do not define us, what does define who I am?
I think the personality and the level of belief and iman and akhlaq, their behavior really defines, because at the end of the day, somebody can be like so physically beautiful, but then have a bad behavior.
Yeah.
Inside their personality is not good, or they could be not as much considered beautiful in the society, but then their behavior and personality is so, so good. I think the behavior and the way they treat others and their action, how much they can put into action versus talking, is more shows their real personality, who they are.
Yes.
How they treat other people, I think so, and especially in the different societies where there's a pressure for the cultural things, like here, there's a specific culture. It depends, you know.
You said there's a pressure in the societies. For example, Fatima, you also come from a different culture. Sadiqa, you also come from a totally different culture. And I also come from a very different culture. But there's something very common, what we have all faced in our cultures, is that when a woman comes out in the society with hijab, she's being oppressed. But don't you think, Sadiqa, like hijab came in order to tell women, come out of home? Because she actually, when she's in home, Islam does not tell her to cover yourself or like, you know, do a head-to-toe hijab. Don't you think hijab actually told her to define yourself, who you are, come out of home?
When you talk about, you know, people talking about the hijab being oppressive, that's their opinion. And funnily enough, it's the opinion of people who don't even wear the hijab. One who doesn't wear the hijab is now being allowed to dictate what a person who wears the hijab thinks.
Yeah.
We talk about freedom of speech. I think this is absolutely, like we say in the UK, it's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
You know? You don't wear the hijab, but you feel free to define what I feel? Why can't I define what I feel?
Yeah.
Why am I not being given that freedom? We have freedom of speech, right? So I should be allowed to define what I feel when I'm wearing the hijab. I feel liberated. I feel I have become the servant of Allah. Allah commanded me to wear the hijab, I wore it. I want to wear it. I feel I have abided by one of the commands of Allah that He talks about in the Quran. So yes, I do feel like a spiritually lifted person. Let's talk about what I feel as well, right?
Yeah.
And that's on one side. And yes, like one of the points that you mentioned, that for a woman to be able to go out into society, and Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, who's one of the scholars in Qom, he's written an amazing book about women, and he writes it, Women in the Mirror of Majesty and Beauty. That's the English translation. It's written in Farsi, but that's the English the translation of the title. And in it, he brings a verse from the Quran. And in the commentary of this verse, he talks about how women should be given a path to enter society.
Yeah.
Right? They should not be misbehaved with. So when they want to enter society, they should be given that support from their family as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that... And the hijab is one of those things that is very personal to a woman, right? While she wears the hijab, now she's no longer seen as a woman who's defined by her clothes, her height, her weight, the level of beauty. Now she's defined by her intellect and how she's able to conduct herself in a society.
And that's not human rights violation when you're being judged on the basis of your ability. But when you're being oppressed because of your hijab, I think that's the most biggest human rights violation, because you are being, like, people know you because of your hairs, people know you because of your skin, because of your, you know, the more short clothes you wear and all, they know your personality like that. But who I am, actually, that gets somewhere, it dies somewhere when you're not wearing hijab.
In some of the workplaces in the UK, and I will mention some, right, because these are those who I've had experience with. Now, I'm not sure, I haven't... So in some of the workplaces, a woman who's wearing shorter dresses is flirted with a bit more, but her intellect does die down. And I remember one of these women saying, in my job, we just have to flirt a bit and get our way around. Now, Islam wouldn't allow that of a woman because she's lowering her dignity to get something done, which should have been done without her having to lower her dignity in the first place.
Yeah.
So we as a society have allowed these to take place. We allow a woman to use her body to get the tasks done. Why isn't a man doing that? Why isn't a man supposed to sell his body to get the tasks done, but he's relied on his intellect?
True.
Since when did men become more intellectual than women?
Never.
Right?
Yeah.
So we ourselves as a society, on one hand, we need to work for women's rights. But on the other hand, you're allowing a man to be judged on his intellect, but a woman to be judged on her beauty, and her beauty is the way to get the tasks done.
Yeah.
That's very, on one hand, unfair. Two, it's allowing her to lower her dignity for us to realize who she truly is. In the process of us trying to understand who she truly is, we've completely destroyed her soul because she has nothing left of dignity in her soul anymore.
Dear listeners, we'll continue the discussion after a short break. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. You're listening to Back to Reality, and we are discussing Who Am I? Fatima, you know, we said that women sometimes, because of people, because of pressure, may actually, because in India we have this so much going on that women who used to put on hijab now do not put on hijab because of the social pressure, because of the pressure in the schools they have, and the thing that who they are dies down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, like, what could help a person define who he is for himself first? Because, you know, I'll again quote this hadith from Imam Ali al-Islam. If you know yourself, you will know, you actually know your Allah. So what are the things what one can do to know himself better?
From the very beginning, the childhood training, like if the people who had parents who were giving them a good self-esteem and showing them love, these people are going to have a better self-identity and self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself, really affects how well you know yourself. When you don't have a good self-esteem, it's harder. So I think if you didn't get that kind of upbringing, trying to go and get more, do things that will raise your self-esteem, helps when you feel better about yourself, you should have a positive outlook on yourself.
Yeah.
Then that helps you to know yourself better and make a more positive choices in your life for yourself.
Well, what's your take on that, Sadira?
I agree with Sister Fatima that it does come down to upbringing. But when it comes down to, I would offer a different perspective because she's covered one of the perspectives very well. Another perspective is that, you know, when we define the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in our daily prayers,
yes,
the first thing we define him as, or rather Allah defines him as abduhu, his servant, Allah's servant. So if we adopt that definition for ourselves as first and foremost being the servant of Allah, and servitude then comes with encompassing all those other attributes that Allah has talked about, morality, religiousness, being kind to others, being compatible in society, working to help others, all those then come around. But the initial, everything comes under one title, being first and foremost being the servant of Allah.
Being servant of Allah. So one must realize who I am. I am the servant of Allah. One must realize this thing in life. We almost reached that point.
Yeah, trying to be the servant of Allah. Because, I mean, our Prophet ﷺ was the highest level of any human being can reach. He was higher than anyone spiritually. So we cannot get exactly to his level, but that he was a real Abdullah, servant of Allah. But we try. We have to always keep in our mind that I'm trying my best to become servant of Allah.
We reached a point that where you both said that a person should realize that he is a servant of Allah when he is saying who I am, and he has to know who he is. The first and foremost thing he should realize is that he is the servant of Allah. But there is somewhere this pride comes in, and when we want to pressurize people, they say, don't you know who I am? Yeah, so they kind of try to pressure people. What do you have about those people? Like, sometimes even I think I may have used this at some point of my life to both, mostly to the youngsters. Don't you know who I am? You're not listening to me.
Yeah, so it's not, don't you know who I am? It's basically saying, don't you know what position I hold that
exactly.
I can force you to doing what I want?
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, I'm just going to trouble you more. So it's not who I am, it's what position I hold.
What position I hold. But mostly we use the word, don't you know who I am?
Yes, yeah. Because that's where we understand. And as you mentioned, it comes down to our ego.
Yeah.
Using our ego to get our way around in life. So don't you know who I am is basically
don't
taking
you know
that
what
position,
kind of position
which Allah has given them into saying, this is me, this is from myself. And I have, like, you know, sometimes... in some workplaces where you might have a rude manager. Don't you know who I am? I'm your manager.
Yeah.
Now that managerial position has been granted to him by the help of Allah, through the help of Allah, or rather by Allah. Now he has believed that this managerial position is from himself.
Yeah.
So he has defined himself with his managerial position. But if tomorrow he were to be fired from that position, or he chose to leave the job, or he died, he is no longer a manager. It's just himself.
And you never know, sometimes these jobs could not keep you going on all the time. You can feel ill, you can have so many trouble. So, kind of sum it up, I personally think the thing that could help you to know who you are is like, give your parents a form. Tell me three goods of me, tell me three bads of me. We can work on our good ones. We can just skip the worst ones. Like, there is definitely a bad part of us. We could tell our parents, our sisters, our siblings and others, our closest friends, to help us fill the form. Tell me what are my good qualities and tell me what are my bad qualities, honestly. And when they are being honest, defining that, you can be a better person working on the good ones and trying to skip the worst ones you have. Thank you so much, guys, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك لتصي دليلتك وانسكت.